Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
What is good, everybody? Welcome one and all to TGI Football on the SB Nation NFL show presented by DraftKings Fantasy Sports. Check out what DraftKings has to offer this season with code SBNFL because life is more fun when you are in on the action. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void or prohibited. See DraftKings.com for details. As noted, this is the SB Nation NFL show. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple devices, Spotify, etc. You can also watch us on the SB Nation NFL YouTube channel. And if you do, you will see the bright, shining, beautiful faces of myself, Amarji Ocho from Blog of the Boys. And he is himself, Steven Serta from SB Nation's Arrowhead Pride. Steven, when I said etc., it reminded me of Gene Wilder's Willy Wonka at the end when he's reading through the contract to Charlie and his grandpa.
Yeah, I haven't watched that one. I watched the new one recently.
You've never seen the original with Gene Wilder?
No, I've seen the original. I meant to say I haven't watched it in a really long time. Okay. Like, it's probably been 20 plus years since I've actually sat down and watched that movie.
Is Charlie in the Chocolate Factory? Was that Johnny Depp? And is that the same story or is that a different, similar story as far as you're concerned?
I thought that was a different story. Like, I thought that was like a different book or something in the series.
I thought it existed in the like pantheon of like the Wonkaverse. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Cause like maybe it's Charlie grown up as and running the factory. I really don't know.
I think I've only seen that one once and I don't really remember. I just remember thinking that it sucked. I don't remember anything about it other than Johnny Depp just being really weird.
Okay. Well, I recently, you and I were talking about this, watched the new one with Timothy. Help me out here.
Chalamet,
thank you. And it sucked. I did not like that movie. Like, you could miss me with this, like, I don't want to put words in your mouth or throw you under the bus, but you were kind of hating on it too. Like, miss me with this, like, it's a holiday fun movie. It was so boring. Yeah. I fell asleep.
I thought it was okay. But yeah, it was billed as this like holiday classic. Like, this is the new thing you're going to watch on Christmas with your family. And I watch it and I will probably never watch it. Like, it wasn't, it was kind of boring. Wasn't that interesting. It just didn't hit it for me.
Steven and I are recording a 16-hour long podcast after this one, where we're just going to discuss all the films that were released in 2023. But as far as this one is concerned, we are going to, Steven, not recover or review any sort of Thursday night football game, as there wasn't any or weren't any on Thursday night. But we are going to preview all of the action to come in week 18. We have made it to the regular season finale. It always gets here faster than you think it will.
Yeah. This season especially, maybe it's because the Chiefs have been so frustrating this year that it's just kind of flown by, but it really feels like that this one has gone by really quick, that we're already here in week 18 and trying to figure out who is even going to play this week, who's got the matchups that matter and all of that stuff. It's been a really fast season with a lot of weird things going on all year.
Yeah, some things went chalk, some things went unpredictable, some things feel really known, some things definitely unknown. We're, of course, going to kind of try to put all of that in a little, hour-long box for you in this conversation. If it isn't obvious, there's no BLG on this episode. He hasn't just been silent this entire time. That would be kind of rare. What is your guess on how BLG will feel about the Wonka movie? I think he's going to hate it, too.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like he enjoys like cheerful movies, and that's kind of what that's supposed to be. I feel like he's kind of guy that like needs it to make him a little sad or something like that. Needs it to make him feel something.
He will let us know whether or not that's true next week when we sit down and preview the wild card round in the playoffs. But we have 1 week to go before we get there.
Pick me!
1, 2, 3.
Pick one.
On three.
Pick three, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
We also, of course, as we do every single week, Steven, have a particular segment, which is what we're going to do right now. This is our Pick 3 brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That is code SBNFL. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Steven, last week I was the only person of our trio to hit on our same game parlay. We addressed the Kansas City Chiefs Cincinnati Bengals game. I went with the unique Chiefs would be the last team to score prop, and that worked out. But you and BLG both whiffed. You believed in Travis Kelce, which, goodness me, has not been a great line of thought on the football field this particular season. But off of it, I mean, business is booming, to say the least. This week, we're actually not going to do anything in the afternoon. We're heading to Sunday Night Football, which we'll discuss in detail in a little bit. But the Buffalo Bills, Steven, are visiting the Miami Dolphins. It is for the AFC East, so there's a lot on the line, and we're going to put even more. What is your leg of the parlay? Why are you picking it? What exactly do you believe in specifically?
So, this game's obviously, and the reason we picked it is because it's the most consequential game of right. the weekend by far. The Dolphins are locked into the playoffs, but they could still lose the division. If the Bills lose this one, they could just be totally eliminated from the playoffs, and we'll know if that scenario is unfolded by Sunday night. And so there's a lot on the line in this game, and that's why they made it the Sunday night football game in this one. And the Dolphins are really, really banged up right now. And they've got a bunch of question marks on the offensive side of the ball ahead of this game. So it'll be interesting to see what their final injury report is. That's something to keep a close eye on Friday afternoon. But I chose Tyreek Hill, 100 plus alternate receiving yards this week. For me, it feels like with Jaylen Waddle, super questionable in this one, dealing with an injury, it seems like he's probably not going to go. I just have to assume that the offense has to run through Tyreek Hill. Raheem Mostert's super questionable in this one. Devon Achane is questionable in this one. And I just feel like even though Tyreek Hill is kind of fighting through injuries right now, the Dolphins don't stand a chance if Tyreek Hill doesn't have a big game. So I am betting on Tyreek Hill and what he has accomplished this season. And that's why I chose him to go over 100 yards in this one, even though the Bills secondary has actually been a little bit better lately compared to how they were playing during the middle of the season.
I think that's really well said. In a game where everything is on the line, it's smart to bet on the chalk things, right? Like, it's smart to bet on the things that the teams are best at because they're going to do those things in the name of winning the game that has the most consequences than any game does this particular season. So very smart kind of insight by you. By the way, all the best to Tyreek Hill's family. Obviously, it was a stressful week for him, to say the least, what with the fire that obviously was reported all over the world. To segue back to football, though it's difficult, I'm going with something like this is low-hanging fruit. Like, I'm taking the absolute lowest-hanging fruit because we want to hit. This was a great season for us in that we hit several same-game parlays, and we want to end the regular season with a bang, although we'll obviously keep doing it through the playoffs. That being said, do you know how many games in a row, Steven, that Josh Allen has had a rushing touchdown?
Five.
That is exactly five. Wow, well done. He has had a rushing touchdown every game since – you could call it Thanksgiving. They didn't play on Thanksgiving Day, but since the Sunday after Thanksgiving, obviously. Do you know how many rushing touchdowns he's had in those five games?
Seven.
Eight. He has had eight rushing touchdowns in the last five games, not really getting a lot of production through the air. He had two against Philly. He had one in the win at Kansas City where Chiefs players whined and complained and really embarrassed themselves. I know that was a lot of fun for you. He had another one against the Dallas Cowboys, and he had two each against the Chargers and last week against the New England Patriots. I could totally see, again, in a tough it out, do everything you possibly can game, Josh Allen is going to be the superhero, try to be the superhero. Rushing touchdown feels super duper easy. So I'm going Josh Allen anytime touchdown at minus 135. I have the best odds of all three of our props because BLG is kind of in line with yours. I suppose they could work in a bit of a simpatico sort of manner. He is taking over 1.5 passing touchdowns for Tua Tagovailoa at minus 115. Maybe one of those touchdowns will be like a 90-yard pass to Tyreek Hill. And then, you know, we can all kind of benefit in that same capacity. So over 1.5 passing touchdowns for Tua, anytime touchdown for Josh Allen, and 100-plus alternate receiving yards for Tyreek Hill. The overall props on, or the overall line on that, Steven, is what?
It is plus 445.
Which means?
I think if you bet $10, you would win like $45.
what would you buy with $45 right now, this moment? You got $45 to spend, burning a hole in your pocket.
I would go to the bookstore and see what I could accomplish with $45.
Wow. Are you, is that like one of your resolutions? A lot of people do that, like read books.
No, I mean, it's something that I've done the last couple of years. I got really back into like comic books and graphic novels. So I read a lot of those now. I read probably like 4 to 5 of them a month. And for Christmas, I got Barnes & Noble gift cards and I just bought a stack of them. So I got a stack to burn through right now. I'm really excited about it.
Okay. Well, rooting for you, Stephen, because I know you're going to place a bet on this parlay. And if you win the $45, I know you'll make good use of them at Barnes & Noble. All right. That was our Pick 3 segment brought to you by our friends at DraftKings.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Stephen, the time has come to fly through all of Week 18. Every single game happening on Sunday. There's no Monday Night Football, obviously. There's no Thursday Night Football. So we have a lot to get to. It helps that we've, you know, it's just you and me. I mean, no BLG to slow us down, weigh us down. We each have a lock of the week, as Brandon does. He has submitted it. And we each have a zap. Kind of split chickens in terms of who you want to zap. But if you don't want to hear me talk about a game, I don't want to hear you talk about a game. Well, we can utilize it. And Stephen, in the name of speed and time and efficiency, I will let you have BLG zap. So you have two and I have one. Is everybody kind of clear on the rules?
Yes. Let's go.
Okay. Let's start with Saturday because we have two Saturday games. The Pittsburgh Steelers are visiting the Baltimore Ravens. The lines this week are going to be funky, just so everybody is aware. Pittsburgh, 3-point road favorite, Stephen, because it appears that the Ravens, who have clinched the number one seed in the AFC and obviously won the AFC North, probably going to put Lamar Jackson on ice. Maybe Dalvin Cook gets a snap or two now that he's a member of the team as of Thursday. But the Ravens are punting this game in a lot of senses, whereas the Steelers need it to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think I'm gonna go with the Steelers, I guess, because even though it's Mason Rudolph, like, he has actually been okay. He has turned George Pickens into a monster the last couple of weeks, which it seems like it's taken 2 years for us to see some consistency out of George Pickens, but it's been a nice late season surge, and you know, I still think that this is, you know, Steelers-Ravens rivalry, and this could still wind up being one of those just weird, ugly AFC North games between these two teams. But at the end of the day, the Steelers are putting all their starters out there, and they're going all out to win this game, and the Ravens are going to be playing backup. So it's a safe bet to make that the Steelers are going to win this game, but I do reserve the right to backtrack if it blows up in my face and this winds up being like a 12-9 Ravens win or something.
Yeah, I mean, I know that we kind of assume that all Steelers-Ravens games will be epic and fun and rough and tough, but like, this was a curious game to put on Saturday afternoon all by itself as an island game. I feel like you can find other games that were maybe a little bit more competitive, just because the Ravens simply have nothing to play for. Like, I'd rather even watch I don't know, say like the Bears at Lambeau, just even though Chicago's eliminated, I think they'll be playing a little bit harder than Baltimore will in this game. But nevertheless, that's where we're at. I'm going to take Pittsburgh as well. I agree. I just, you know, and I do think that this, that I'm not throwing the game, but losing the game works out for Baltimore. You mentioned the chaos scenario, which I believe for Buffalo to miss the playoffs entirely involves a Steelers win, a Jaguars win, and a loss themselves. And if you're Baltimore, who would you rather have in the playoffs, Pittsburgh or Buffalo? I mean, right? Like, you know, so let Pittsburgh in. I know that like could totally come back to bite you. Like, watch Pittsburgh. They won't. But you get what I'm saying. Like, it is in Baltimore's complete and total self-interest to let Pittsburgh in over Buffalo and therefore to lose this game.
And the Steelers did beat the Ravens earlier this year, but again, that was like just another one of these weird AFC North matchups where the Ravens just couldn't get anything going on offense in that game. But yeah, if you're Baltimore, you would much rather see the Steelers in the playoffs, because whether it's Mason Rudolph or Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky, you're like, oh yeah, we can win that game at home against that team if that's what it comes down to. So absolutely, get the Bills out of here if you can, if you're Baltimore.
All right, so we're both taking the Steelers. Next up, Saturday night football. Effectively a playoff game. This was a good choice. The Houston Texans are visiting the Indianapolis Colts. Houston, 1.5-point favorite, Steven, on the road in Indianapolis. The winner of this game at the very least secures a wild card spot in the AFC playoff picture. But if Tennessee were to upset Jacksonville on Sunday, then the winner of this game would take the AFC South.
It feels like it's something that we've been talking about on this show for months now, where every week it's like, how are the Colts not favorites in this one? Right. Like, why do the Colts keep getting disrespected by the sports books? And I mean, if you look at their record, like, and their recent matchups, like, it's because the Colts are a pretty inconsistent team. Like, the one week they'll put up 35 points, and then the next week they can't move the ball to save their lives. And some of that's injuries. Like, Michael Pittman's been banged up, but he should be good to go in this one. And I think that's why I'm going to go with the Colts here. I like the Texans overall. I think it's probably better for the league if C.J. Stroud gets into the postseason and we get to see what he can do there as a rookie after he's had this phenomenal season and missed a couple of games because of a serious concussion, but returned last week. And I'd rather see CJ Stroud in the playoffs probably, but the Texans are really banged up, especially on the defensive side of the ball right now. And that was kind of an early season thing where CJ Stroud was playing out of his mind and carrying this offense and making plays week after week after week. But their defense was actually a lot more competent than you would believe just by looking at their personnel. And it hasn't been the case lately. Like, they've been getting burned by a lot of opposing offenses. And some of it is just because they're just so banged up on that side of the ball. So I think I like the Colts in this one, even though I'm probably rooting for the Texans more than Indianapolis.
So I was looking while you were speaking, totally listening, but I was going to make a joke or a point about CJ Stroud's last game at Lucas Oil. But then I realized that, like, Michigan has dominated Ohio State, you know, in recent memory, that he hasn't played in the Big Ten championship game or didn't play in the Big Ten championship game. So, you know, that point is dead. And I could have just let it be dead instead of explaining it. But, you know, this is where we're at. I think this is the, like, this is the Spurs narratives game. Because I'm taking Houston, to be very clear. I think CJ Stroud goes off in this game. And this is the game that people point to in June or in August and are like, CJ Stroud's going to enter the MVP conversation in 2024. That might be true. But I think this is a big time. It's Saturday night prime time to clinch a playoff spot. This is a big moment for CJ Stroud in my mind. Is this Coach of the Year Bowl, do we think? Like, is this, like, winner takes Coach of the Year?
Yeah, probably.
Right?
I would think these got to be the two front runners. I don't have the odds in front of me, but that's who I would vote for if I had a decision in the matter.
Well, I can get the odds if you buy me a second, say something clever and interesting.
I totally agree with you on CJ Stroud. I think he could go off in this one, and that's what I'm rooting for. I just don't feel good about actually picking it. But if that's what the scenario winds up being, I'd be very happy about that.
Kevin Stefanski, the current favorite at DraftKings Sportsbook, minus 1,100. D'Amico is in second place in terms of odds. Where do you think D'Amico is at if Stefanski's at minus 1,100?
I don't know, minus 500?
It really makes the fact that we caught this Coach of the Year Bowl pretty silly. D'Amico is plus 800. And Shane Steichen is plus 950.
I guess the Browns quarterback situation, but come on, they just got lucky with Joe Flacco. They went out of their way not to sign a guy like Joe Flacco for half the season.
I'm taking Houston. I thought about locking them up, but I've done that too many times this season. I wanted to kind of mix it up a little bit, but I hope this is a really fun game. Also, like, what an amazing turn of events relative to the Week 18 game last year, where it was Davis Mills against the Colts at Lucas Oil, and Houston won that game. And to lose the number one overall pick, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, like complete and total chaos. What a horrible, embarrassing situation. Like, both franchises have really turned their fortunes around since then, which is cool to see as far as the NFL is concerned. Okay, let's go to Sunday now, Steven. Lots of noon games, but a lot of afternoon games. I don't know if you thought this was curious like I did, but let's start with the NFC South. The Buccaneers are 4.5-point favorites in Carolina, where David Tepper has been fined $300,000 for throwing a drink in the face of a fan like a child. With a win, the Bucs win the NFC South. Do you think they get it done?
Yeah, I think they get it done. I mean, the Panthers are that bad. And the Bucs are kind of one of the more frustrating teams, because, like, we've seen them when they put it together. Like, we know they've got this veteran loaded defense, and the offense has been at times really good this season with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Baker Mayfield, but then they have these dud games where they can't move the ball like they did against the Saints, and they can't accomplish anything offensively, and they've been a really frustrating team to bet on because of that. But I think at the end of the day, it's the Panthers, the worst team in the NFL. The Bucs have to win this game to get into the playoffs. And I think that they do inevitably get it done. But also, like, for Carolina, RJ, like, everybody's saying, like, Ben Johnson's going to be the guy that they target as their head coach. If I'm Ben Johnson, I don't think there's any money in the world that would make me go to Carolina, just based on what we've seen from David Tepper. Like, it's pretty clear that he's the worst owner in the NFL to work for right now. And if you don't win right away and show signs of improvement right away, then he'll just fire you again because he's got endless amounts of money. Ben Johnson, who was picky last year in the situations that he interviewed for, should absolutely not be interested in the Panthers whatsoever.
So I would offer a slight modification of what you said, and I think you'll agree with me. It's not that there isn't any money in the world. It's that the difference in money in what he's going to be offered elsewhere isn't enough to risk his future career, obviously, as a head coach in the NFL, right? Like, if we just make up, like, numbers, if it's an offer of, like, $8 million a year in Carolina versus, I don't know, like, $5 million a year with the Chargers, like, it's totally worth going with. Like, $5 million a year is still life-changing, significant amounts of money to the point that you probably sign up for that opportunity. I agree. I think this is probably the most exciting day for Panthers fans in a long time, because it's like, thank God it's over. Like, we just don't have to hear from you all for a little while. Like, we can let the dust settle. And I think the Panthers really, really, really need that. The Panthers had kind of become this interesting franchise throughout the Cam Newton era, but I do feel like they've really been relegated to, like, cellar dwellers now. I'm fascinated to watch how their offseason unfolds. I'm fascinated to watch, like, how connected they are to free agents, because who's, like, what players are going to want to play there? You know what I mean? Like, there might be a situation where money matters a little bit more, but, I mean, goodness gracious, what a dumpster fire. I don't totally believe in the Bucs right now, but I think walking into a situation where you get to play the Panthers is a nice kind of get-right opportunity for them to clinch the NFC South. So I'll take Tampa Bay. We move on to Minnesota, Steven. They are visiting the Detroit Lions. The Lions are 3.5-point favorites. They are about as locked into the three seed as they can be. If the Dallas Cowboys and Philadelphia Eagles both lose and the Detroit Lions win, then Detroit takes the two seed. If the Cowboys lose, and that's it. No, that's the only way they take the two seed. Sorry about that. But if not, they're going to be the three seed and host the six seed, which could be the Los Angeles Rams and set up Matthew Stafford's return.
Yeah, I'm curious how you feel about this, because the Lions are expected to play their starters. And if they play their starters, they should win this football game. And obviously, like, the two seed compared to the three seed now, like, you don't get the bye anymore. But you still, like, if there were to be a big upset in the playoffs and the 49ers get knocked off and you're the two seed, then all of a sudden you've got home field advantage. Like, I get all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, I don't think that it makes that big of a difference where the Lions should be playing all of their starters when you have an opportunity to kind of rest some guys here. And I know the Vikings are going back to Nick Mullins, and they're still technically alive, I think, in the playoffs. Like, it's a huge long shot for the Vikings to make it, but I don't think they're totally eliminated. Like, there's a scenario where they could still possibly get in potentially in this one. So I think the Vikings are going to go all out to try to win this game. But if the Lions are legitimately playing their starters and saying we're playing for that two seed and then see how the rest of it falls, I'm still going to go with Detroit here, especially coming off of that rough referee influence loss against the Cowboys. I think the Lions are going to step up in this one.
So there are 19 possible permutations of seeds 4 through 7 in the NFC. And only 3 of them feature the Vikings making it, to your point. They all obviously require a Vikings win. My thought on this, and I certainly don't mean to relitigate the end of the Cowboys-Lions game, which, as you can imagine, I've talked about a lot at this point. But I find it fascinating that Dan Campbell is not catching really any heat for continuing to go for it. Decisions that carried negative win probability for the decisions that literally arguably costed them a chance to win. Again, I'm not excusing the Brad Allen snafu by any stretch, but I wonder if there's a little bit of pressing involved by Detroit. Like, Dan Campbell kind of seems like that person. Like, he is kind of like a raging bull where his greatest strength becomes his greatest weakness in certain moments like that. So yeah, like, why would you play out? Like, I mean, we'll get to the Cowboys game, but like, does anybody think the Cowboys are going to lose this week? Like, why would you risk anything, especially when you have fought so hard to return to relevancy? If you're the Detroit, you have a home playoff game coming up next week. And again, I think it's in your best interest, kind of like we talked about with the Ravens. If you're the Lions, I think you'd much rather the Vikings get in than the Packers, right? Like, you'd much rather Nick Mullins than Jordan Love be the person that maybe gets in. And even if that team got hot, you still like your odds better against them than anybody else. So, but I just can't pick Minnesota. I'm sorry. Like, as much as I think it is an incentive for Detroit, I think Detroit really wants to kind of enter this whole thing with some positive momentum. So I think the Lions to win, but I wouldn't be shocked if they lay down either.
Yeah. I love Dan Campbell's aggressiveness, and we're just all gas all the time. Like, I love all of that stuff. Like, Antonio Pierce has kind of been like that. That's kind of why I'm rooting for him to get the head coaching job with the Raiders. Like, I love that mentality, and I love sticking to it and not backing down from it. But I do think that sometimes Dan Campbell needs somebody who can talk to him and be like, hey, man, like, these are the scenarios. These are the odds.
We got
to chill, especially because the Lions offensive line, which is spectacular and one of the key components of all of their success this season, has been really banged up lately. Like, they got a bunch of guys who are fighting through injuries right now. They could really use some time off, Dan. I don't think it actually benefits you that much to force those guys out there.
I do think this could be like an ultimate like walk back post game press conference for Dan Campbell. Like, maybe Jared Goff and starters play like 2 series and everyone's like, oh, what happened to the like hype during the week? And at the end of the game, when he's talking, he's like, look, we have to be prepared. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I'm not saying he's a for show kind of person, but I do think he's trying to, you know, play things as best as he can. So sounds like we're both taking Detroit. So good for us. Steven, Doug Peterson said, as we've been recording, that Trevor Lawrence will be questionable for Sunday's game in Tennessee, where the Jaguars are 3.5-point favorites. Look, I would love to see the Texans win the AFC South. I really would not like to see the Colts do it, just because I don't think that would really yield anything interesting. But that being said, like, if there is one team capable of like providing some sort of upset here, is it not Mike Vrabel's Titans? Like, are they not the one team that could kind of throw a wrench into this whole kind of conversation?
Yes, absolutely. And like, did you see the clip of Mike Vrabel this week, like, talking to a reporter, and he is like, we want a bleeping win. Like, that's what we're trying to do every week. I don't care.
He said the
about
word bleeping, just to be very clear. Like, he literally said that word.
Yeah. Like, it's the Titans are that team every year where you're like, yeah, you could see them getting blown out 28-0 or something, or you could see them just have an absolutely massive upset and be like, where the hell did that come from? Like, and that's who the Titans have been under Mike Vrabel. And so you could totally see that. I just go back with Jacksonville. Like, it just feels like they really mismanaged the Trevor Lawrence injuries and were really forcing him out there to play when, like, you're kind of like, yeah, maybe we need to just try to get it done with CJ Beathard for a couple of weeks and give Trevor some time to get healthy. And now you're in a situation where, like, Jacksonville could miss the playoffs if they lose this game. And so I have to imagine Trevor Lawrence is going to play in this one, because now all of a sudden, like, I know it would take a lot of things to happen for Jacksonville to totally miss the playoffs, but that's a possibility. Like, that's on the table. And so you can't allow that to happen. So I assume Trevor Lawrence is going to play in this game. If not, it's just a huge mismanagement. Again, I don't know what Christian Kirk's status is. I know he's eligible to return this week and could wind up being available. So I think I'm going to pick Jacksonville. But man, for a team that I think it was going into that Ravens game, they were like 8-3, and it's just done nothing but go downhill since then. And they've really, really struggled down the stretch, and the vibes are not good around Jacksonville ahead of the playoffs.
So you're right. There are scenarios where the Jaguars can lose and still enter the playoffs as the 7th seed in the AFC, but there are only 4 of them. So you certainly don't want to see that happening. But to kind of just, you know, play hypotheticals, we both picked Pittsburgh, right? We both think the Steelers are winning against the Ravens because of the incentives in that particular game. Let's just say Houston wins. But even if Indianapolis wins, if Tennessee wins, that's it, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's over. It's done with. Like, you're not in. That would be a disaster. And it might kind of skate by or fly under the radar because you're the Jaguars. And I don't say that in any kind of mean way. But you're right. Like, I don't want to say if it were the Cowboys, but if Doug Peterson were mismanaging the Trevor Lawrence thing, even for like the Chargers or whatever, like, I do think it'd be much more under the microscope. And I think that is evidence. Remember, I heard Mark Sessler bring this up on around the NFL this week. When Brandon Staley let Mike Williams play late last year and get hurt, and everybody killed Brandon Staley, rightfully so. I mean, but like, this is very strange, but I do think the line reflects that Lawrence is going to play, obviously, given that they're 3.5-point favorites. I'm tempted to take the Titans. Are you brave enough?
I'm not, but if you can, yeah. I applaud you for it.
I'm a coward. I'm sorry, but you know, it's okay. Okay, let's move on. We're both picking the Jaguars. I'm going to zap you because I don't think we care about the Falcons in New Orleans. Actually, I can't zap you. I unzap you. Steven, Falcons in New Orleans. Give us your thoughts that I definitely didn't know, which is why I guess
I guess this is my lock of the week. I don't feel good about this lock, and I'll be totally.
What do you locked. Mean? I guess like nobody forced you to lock them. Like, in fact, BLG tried to lock this, and you defended it. You said no, that's my lock. So
yeah, let me backtrack. So I feel good about the lock, but it has.
You're locking the Saints, to be clear.
Yes, I am locking the New Orleans Saints to win this one over the Atlanta Falcons, and. Really, there's not like a ton of like thought and analysis put into this. It's more so I'm rooting for the Falcons to lose because I want them to fire Arthur Smith so they can get a real head coach in there and we can actually see what Drake London and Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts can do if they have a real head coach who's smart and knows how to utilize the talent that they have drafted in the first round of the NFL draft. Because we've seen that all of those guys are tremendously talented. They have a bad head coach who refuses to utilize their talents. And so really, that's just what I'm rooting for, because I am a fan of good football and I am a fan of talented players getting the opportunities to shine. And that's what I want to see. I want to see Arthur Smith out in Atlanta. So I need the Falcons to lose this game. And I think the Saints overall are just a better football team, even though, you know, Derek Carr can give you a lot of duds and he's been wildly inconsistent this year, but he has been playing pretty well recently and the Saints have been a little bit better recently. And you know, Chris Olave had a really quiet game last week. So I expect him to bounce back in this one. And the Saints are still fighting for a playoff spot too. So they need some help, but it starts with winning this game. So I think the Saints are going to be a safe pick here to cover and take down the Falcons.
I mentioned there are 19 possible permutations in the NFC. Only one features the New Orleans Saints getting in as the 7th seed. If the Bucs were to lose to the Panthers, which I think we think is pretty impossible, they could win. The winner of this game wins the NFC South. But that being said, New Orleans would need to win, assuming Tampa wins, and for Chicago to upset Green Bay and for Arizona to upset Seattle. And if those things happen, they are the 7th seed. And I would love that as a Cowboys fan personally, but I don't know that I see it happening. I do think this is the like mega consequence bowl. Like the loser of this game has some mega consequences. Like if it's Arthur Smith, if it's Dennis Allen, whoever. I'm going to float this out there. Like I know people are floating out Russell Wilson, Atlanta, which I feel like I know I've done on the ESPN Nation NFL show for a few months. What about Russell Wilson quarterback in the Falcons in 2024 with Ben Johnson as the head coach and play caller? How do we feel? Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson? Look, the Russell thing is temporary. I mean, the Russell thing is just to survive the time being to, you know, tread water. Huh. It can't be Desmond Ridder.
Yeah, no, it can't be. And I would much prefer they, you know, go try to get Justin Fields or something like that. Because I just think with Russell right now, it's like, where does that actually put you if you're Atlanta? Like, how big of an upgrade is Russell Wilson over Desmond Ridder? Russell Wilson's better than Desmond Ridder. I think that's definitive. But Russell Wilson the last couple of years has just been bad. And has just not been a very good football player. And so, like, if you sign him instead of having Desmond Ridder, I just feel like you're the same, like, treading water team where you're going to be out of the mix for like a top quarterback in the draft. And then a couple of years down the line, you're going to be like, well, we wasted the rookie contracts of all of these star players. They're going to want to leave because we're obviously not putting them in the best situation to succeed. And now we still need a quarterback. And now we're still rebuilding and we're 6 years down the line.
Fine. Let me rephrase. The Falcons trade for Justin Fields after they bring in Ben Johnson to be their head coach and play caller. Now, how do we feel?
I feel great about that. I feel tremendous about that.
It just looks right. Like, I can close my eyes and see it. Like, and the version of this Falcons team that I see is the one with the white jerseys and the black pants. Like, it you know what I'm saying? Like, that feels really nice. But in order for us to reach that reality, they need to lose this game. So I'm not locking up the Saints, but I'm with you. Okay, now I'm really going to zap you because the Jets are in New England on Sunday. And the Jets are 2.5-point favorites, and this game stinks. Like, who was interested in this game? Nobody.
This game was built to be zapped. I will take the Patriots, I guess. I don't even know who's going to play in this game, to be totally
honest. I'm going
to
take the Jets because it would be the most, like, appropriate way for this, like, Belichick era to end, you know, with a loss against the Jets. Like, and that would be, like, the one, like, bit of solace that Jets fans would have forever. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of pathetic that as Cowboys fans are like, we beat Tom Brady in his last game ever. You know what I mean? But this wouldn't be that, but it would be like, we beat Bill Belichick in his last game ever as the New England Patriots head coach. So, yeah, I'll take the Jets. So, gross. The Browns, Steven, are in Cincinnati in a truly meaningless game. Cincinnati, 7-point home favorites. The Browns really have nothing to play for except for positioning themselves in a health sense, entering the playoffs. But the Bengals seem like the kind of team that wants to enter the offseason with some momentum because they are mathematically eliminated.
Yeah, Browns expected to sit a bunch of starters in this one. And Cincy, I guess it's I think Zach Taylor deserves a lot of credit for what he did this season and sure. And for having them in contention for as long as he did with Jake Browning. And like, I know the Chiefs kind of took over in the second half of that game, but Jake Browning was giving the Chiefs a lot of problems last week in the first half. Like, Jake Browning really put together a strong season and is going to wind up being a guy who sticks around the league for a long time just based off of what he's accomplished this year. So I think the Bengals are going to try to end on a good note, try to see if they can get a win and then hopefully get Joe Burrow healthy next year and have a strong offseason and come back and see what happens with T. Higgins this offseason too. He's set to be a free agent. He could get franchise tagged or work out a long-term deal. But the Bengals have a lot of question marks going into next season, so I think they want to finish the year strong.
Did you see the Ja'Marr Chase quote on Thursday that was kind of swimming around the internet?
I did not.
Now I didn't listen, but I saw the tweet with the, you know, kind of generalization of the quote. But so he allegedly, I guess, said something along the lines of he was asked about T. Higgins returning and said, like, well, it depends how much I take. So like, I feel like the Bengals have really earned the benefit of the doubt. Like, it's been super interesting to see them kind of evolve as a franchise and go from like complete and total joke to like super stable and respectable. But like, they are an underdog to kind of watch for like percolating drama this entire offseason. Like, they could be a weirdly dramatic team with all the contractual things surrounding them this offseason.
And they still have a bad offensive line, too.
That's true. I'm going to take the Bengals, even to cover, because, again, I think this just means a little bit more to them. Also, we forgot to say at the very beginning, it's his fault for not being here, but BLG locked up the Bucks against the Panthers. So, yeah, just so we're on record. Speaking of locks, the final one, because you've already given yours, is mine. And I am locking up the Chicago Bears, Steven, on the road at Lambeau Field, 3-point dogs. I think the Bears are winning this game outright. I mean, I think the Bears, obviously, and so if I can get some points, I mean, by all means, but you and I have been suckers for Justin Fields. Let's just admit it. All right, we just sat here actually and got all excited about a hypothetical involving him. But DJ Moore's playing really well. Do you know where they rank in terms of weighted DVOA, which obviously, you know, applies analysis to more recent weeks?
I don't, but I know their defense has been tremendous over the back half of the season.
So again, like if you look at, you know, season long DVOA, you know, it's not going to be kind to the Bears because, you know, the early parts of things were not great. But so from a weighted DVOA standpoint, and I'm verifying this right now, they rank, I think it's seventh. They rank seventh. The top seven teams, just to kind of give you some perspective, are the Ravens, Niners, Bills, Dolphins, Cowboys, Chiefs, and Bears. They rank ahead of the Lions, ahead of the Browns, ahead of the Jaguars, the Steelers, the Texans, the Eagles. I mean, like the Bengals, like they are playing some great football. The Packers, who they're playing in this game in terms of weighted DVOA, rank 20th. I mean, like, and would it not be like the final like good vibes thing for them to go to Lambeau the way the Lions did last season and completely and totally draw those comparisons and knock the Packers out of the playoffs and, it, you know, totally light the flame of conversation between Justin Fields and Caleb Williams or whatever? Like, this has Justin Fields 470 total yards, 5 total touchdowns written all over it.
Yeah. It's,
I expected more. More juice. That was a really low juice.
I want to agree with you because I do believe in Justin Fields. And even that being said, like, I still think the Bears should take Caleb Williams. You can swapping out a rookie quarterback contract for a longer term rookie quarterback contract like that while you're still kind of trying to add pieces to the roster, I think is something that is really beneficial. But I think it is really underrated how well Justin Fields has been playing recently since he came back from that thumb injury. And he's been really consistent. And they finally started letting him use his legs. And we've seen him take a step as a passer, too. And he's been really good. And the Packers defense is straight up bad. Like they give up yards to virtually everybody. They seem to give up, except for last week when the Vikings decided to play Jaren Hall for whatever reason, when seemed like everyone in the world knew that was a bad decision and they should have just stuck with Nick Mullins. I do really like where the Bears are at right now. And their defense, like I mentioned, is playing tremendous. The Packers are fighting for the playoff spot, but I just feel like these divisional games always play out weird. And it seems like the Packers, and maybe it's just Aaron Rodgers stuck in my head, but like it feels like the Packers always win these week 18 games. Like
they lost last year. What are you talking about? Always. They literally just lost the last one.
But it seems like over the course of history, like there you can bank on them winning these football games. But at the end of the day, I do think the Bears especially have been playing really good against NFC North opponents. And I really like where they're at. So I'm going to go with the Bears in this one, too. I'm going to stick with your lock and I'm going to buy into what you're selling.
Maybe it's not as, you know, robust of a win as I'm sort of suggesting. But yeah, like, I think this is like a Packers, I don't say reckoning, because they have a lot of reasons to be excited about the future, but maybe it's like a matter of like, oh man, we don't only have to worry about the Lions as far as like the immediate, you know, kind of moment. We have to worry about the Bears. Like this is the moment the Vikings become the worst team in the NFC North, especially if they move on from Kirk Cousins. Good for me. Let's move on, Steven, to that's actually the first game that we discussed in the afternoon window. There are 7 games in the afternoon window. Scott Hansen's going to have his work cut out for him, to say the least. But next up for us, the Philadelphia Eagles are visiting the New York Giants. And the Eagles are in a tough spot. Have you seen what Michael Lombardi tweeted out this morning?
I have not.
So, it's 2 tweets that I would like to read. The first one says, this is what makes week 18 the most fascinating week of the season. How will seeding affect the playoffs? The Eagles are currently a 5-point favorite to beat the Giants and have little hope of being the second seed once Dallas beats Washington. Now, he said 5 points. It's 5.5 at the moment at DraftKings. But then he added, Philadelphia is smart enough to understand being healthy, and the 5th seed is a far better option than being the second seed and perhaps facing the Packers or Rams, both teams with offenses. Sounds like a little bit of coping in my mind. But it's fair to say that if you're an Eagles fan, like, look, there's no way the Cowboys are going to lose to the Commanders. They're double-digit point favorites. Like, why risk anything in this game?
Yeah. Yeah, I had seen some reporting this week, too. Like, the Eagles could be kind of scoreboard watching to kind of see how that game's unfolding and decide, like, you know, if it's into the second half, like, okay, it's time to pull the starters. And so that's interesting, and I still think they could beat the Giants. Like, I mean, the Giants have kind of had some splash plays in recent weeks with Tyrod Taylor. And but at the end of the day, like, the Giants aren't a good football team. So you could still easily win this game, I think, with backups. And I think it'll obviously be more competitive. But I think that's the right move if you're the Eagles. Like, they've been banged up. They've had a rough second half of the year. A.J. Brown is making headlines right now for the wrong reasons, because he, after having like one of the most insane runs that we've ever seen earlier this season, with like that 125 yard receiving streak, he's been insanely quiet over the back half of the season. Their offense just isn't working, and they're struggling right now. And it feels like these guys could probably use a break where they kind of, they try to get healthy before the playoffs, reset and figure things out and say, like, this is what we have to do to go make a playoff run. So I'm going to go with the Eagles here, because I still think they can win this game. But I do think that's the right call. I think they should absolutely be scoreboard watching and pull those guys if it's unnecessary for them to be in the game against the Giants.
Yeah, I think if Dallas gets out to like a 14-0 lead or something, if it's halftime and it's like 21-3 or something like that, I think you're right. I think you see everyone take their foot off the gas. Because I also think what would be a terrible kind of entrance to the playoffs. So Philly's lost, I think, 4 of their last 5. If you play your starters and you're trying to win and you fail, right, which feels possible at this point in time, at the very least. And so that would be a really horrible way to kind of go about this. So I am going to take Philly, because I just, you know, the Tyrod Taylor thing is fun. I'm not willing to bet on it, though. It's kind of where I'm at, you know.
It's plus, well, and them losing to the Cardinals last week, and they just played the Giants 2 weeks ago, and that game was closer than it should have been. So to your point, it would be a total disaster if they leave the starters in and lose to the Giants.
It'd be really funny. I would really appreciate it personally. But okay, so we're both taking the Eagles in spite of all that?
Yes.
Okay. The Seattle Seahawks are visiting the aforementioned Arizona Cardinals, and I don't think that we can, like, just hand this to the Seahawks. I mean, the Cardinals, look, I know everybody wants to focus on, like, Philly's implosion last week, but, like, Arizona, and we talked about this on Monday, like, or it was actually Tuesday, but, like, I'm willing to buy stock in the 2024 Cardinals. Like, I'm willing to buy stock in Kyler Murray's return and Jonathan Gannon, and especially if they're able to land Marvin Harrison Jr. or whatever the case may be. Like, I'm a bit of a believer here. And who says they can't, you know, at home beat the Seahawks and ride this positive wave into the offseason and knock the Seahawks out?
Yeah. Trey McBride is another player that looks like he is a star.
I dropped him in my dynasty league at the beginning of the season, and I'm really upset about it.
Oh, that's tough. He's only a second year player. He gave.
I know, but like, I was in a bind, and I needed something, and I was like, well, this is probably not going to work out. I made a mistake, and yeah, it's a tough scene for me.
Yeah, that's rough, because he has looked like a superstar in the second half of the season. The Seahawks are pretty disappointing, right? Like, it felt like coming into this year, it was, in the NFC West, it was the 49ers, and then it was the Seahawks. And they got off to a strong start, too, where it felt like for half the season we were getting on this show and saying, like, we don't really know what to make of the Seahawks. Like, they're not really playing that well, but they're winning games. And then that finally caught up to them, and they came back down to earth and started losing those games that they were winning early in the season. And I don't think all of that's, like, on Geno. He's been banged up, but he's been up and down. I just think the Seahawks have been a much more inconsistent team, where they want to lean on their defense, but their defense just isn't quite there yet, talent wise. Like, they've got some young playmakers that you like, but the overall, like, just roster wise, they're not quite where we thought they were going to be. So I could totally see the Cardinals, like, upsetting them in this one, but the Seahawks still have an outside chance to get in. So I think they're going to play everybody. I think they're going to go all out. So I'm going to go with Seattle here, but I could totally see it playing out the way you were talking about, with the Cardinals just pulling off another big upset to end the season on a high note.
Call me a prisoner of the moment, but I'm going to take the Cardinals. Like, I just do not like what the Seahawks have going on right now. I mean, hate to say it, but, like, I think I want to see somebody else there instead of Geno next year, like, especially with, you know, DK Metcalf and JSN. And, you know, it just feels like their ceiling is limited with Geno. And I'd say that not in a really disrespectful way, or any kind of disrespectful way, but I'll take Arizona here. Let's do it. Why not? Let's be crazy. So that's where we're at. Let's move on. The Dallas Cowboys are visiting the Washington Commanders, the heaviest favorite of any team in week 18 by more than twice the margin. I think the biggest favorite outside, or actually that's changed, because I think Cincinnati's 7-point favorites, but Dallas favored by 13. Is that where we're at? 13? I thought, 13 was 13 and a half. It's kind of bouncing around. Washington has the second overall pick, which they clinch if they lose this game. So it's in everyone's best interest for the Cowboys to win. Dallas wins. They win the NFC East. They take the 2 seed in the conference.
Just thinking back to like week 7 when they were like, Sam Howell is the franchise. It's, man, I don't think enough has been made of just how bad Sam Howell has been over the back half of the season. Like, he has been one of the absolute worst quarterbacks in football, and it's really not close. Like, he is in like Zach Wilson tier bad. That's how rough it's been for the Commanders lately. I have to imagine we're going into an off season where everybody gets let go. Maybe Eric Bieniemy gets retained. I don't know. I know there's been a lot of speculation, like Ron Rivera's out, but Bieniemy might get to stick around. Like, I just feel like it's really rare that things like that happen in the NFL, and I'd be really surprised, especially with the new owner, to not just want to totally tear it down and rebuild it all. But at the end of the day, like, the Cowboys are playing for a lot. It's in the Commanders' best interest to lose. With the new owner, too, I would be like, lose the game, Ron. Like, and I know NFL coaches don't think that way, and Ron Rivera's like, I'm going to get fired anyway, so screw you. I'm going to go try to win the game. But the Cowboys are going to crush Sam Howell. He's been awful. The Commanders, just one of the absolute worst teams in the league. And the Cowboys are playing for a lot. So I'm going to go with Dallas, and I think they win pretty easily.
So one of the staples at SB Nation that we all do is 5 questions with the opposing blog, obviously, whenever your team is playing that one. The headline for that article at Blog of the Boys in our conversation with Hogshaven was a quote of theirs that said, there is no appetite among the fan base or reportedly ownership for an upset win. Like, no, like, there's not even like a, like, any fan that's like, oh, please go like wreck this for the Cowboys or whatever. Yeah. Plus, I don't know if you saw this, JP Finley, who covers the Commanders for NBC up in the area, tweeted out on Thursday, I get the vibe a lot of Commanders veterans won't play this weekend. So like, no, like, everyone is checked out, like, everyone is booking vacations and getting ready to clear out their lockers and things like that. And to your point, this is a big time situation for the Cowboys. They would obviously have to win their wild card matchup, but if they did, they would, again, presuming they beat Washington, would be the 2 seed and therefore host the divisional round matchup. Do you know how many times since their 90s Super Bowl run the Cowboys have hosted a divisional round playoff game? I know that every Kansas City fan thinks this is like super common, but do you know how many times the Cowboys have hosted a divisional round playoff game?
Say once or twice, maybe.
Twice. The Giants game in 07, that was the upset loss, obviously, to the team that won the Super Bowl. And then the Aaron Rodgers, Jared Cook, 3rd-and-20, Mason Crosby game. It's a really rare thing. I mean, obviously, and it assures them, like I said, of avoiding the 49ers until at the very least the NFC Championship game. And if you get, you know, really lucky, maybe the Rams or somebody else finds a way to go beat them and you get to host that game. So this is one of the most important kind of moments in the 21st century for the Dallas Cowboys. I think I don't think that's dramatic to say, which is, and I think the line reflects that. So I'm going to take the Cowboys. I'm going to lay the line, lay the points, because I do think they get out to like a comfortable win. And hopefully in the fourth quarter, Dak gets to put on a cap and things like that, and they start celebrating the division championship.
It's, if they get up like 24-0 in the first half, like, do they even play in the second half?
I think that like Dak, CeeDee, Micah rest, but I think you probably want to play, you know, Terrence Steele, you know, like, there's definitely, and plus, like, you know, I know you know this, but like, people act like, oh, just like rest all 22 starters, like, you know, you can't do that, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I it would be great to get the run game going, like things like that. So I do think they start to kind of, you know, do what they can to accomplish certain goals and establish bits of momentum. But let me take the Cowboys. So let's move on. The Denver Broncos are in Las Vegas, and the Raiders are 3-point favorites. I don't have a passionate.
Okay.
Yeah, you can zap me. No, you have 2 zaps left.
Okay, I'm zapping you.
I will take the Broncos, actually.
I'm going to take the Raiders. I think they're still playing for Antonio Pierce. So I'm going to go with the Raiders in this one.
I know I've been zapped, but I'm taking the Broncos because it would be the most like Sean Payton thing ever to be like, you know, the moment I made the quarterback change, you know, we went undefeated. You know what I mean? Like, so that's where I'm at here. The Los Angeles Rams, this is also zappable, and it's your choice, but are visiting the 49ers. But there are some legit, I don't want to say consequences, but dominoes that can fall in this game. So the Rams have announced that Carson Wentz will be playing quarterback for them on Sunday, and Sam Darnold will be playing for San Francisco. So, like, if you bought a ticket for this game, you know, maybe rethink your life priorities a little bit here. Yeah. But the Niners have clinched the one seed. They have nothing to play for. And the Rams could fall to the seventh seed if they lose and Green Bay wins. So again, kind of a sliding doors moment as far as the NFC playoff picture is concerned.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that the Rams don't really care about it. Like, they're just like, let's just get in, and they're in, and Stafford's sitting, and they made that very clear early in the week. Puka Nacua's got a milestone that he could reach in this game, so he might be involved early just to see if he can get over the hump there. But other than that, I guess, no, I'm going to take the Rams, I guess, because I think I don't think the 49ers care about this game at all, and they're totally checked out, rest up, get healthy, and go on a playoff run. So I don't think this game matters to San Francisco whatsoever.
The Rams are 4-point underdogs. I don't know if we said that for the podcast audience. I'm going to take them too. I mean, because it's also worth mentioning the Niners are also resting Christian McCaffrey. The Niners have come way too close in years past and literally had their season end last season because of a major injury. Like, they are way too smart to kind of play this anywhere near close. So I think the Rams win this, but I think it's like 13-10. Like, I don't, you know, it's not a big time game. By the way, on the subject of Puka Nacua and Kyron Williams, like, congratulations to you because you had them both in a recent fantasy championship. So way to go, Steven.
Killing it.
Wow, I gave you an opportunity to shine and brag about yourself, and you didn't even do it. The Chiefs, Steven, are resting starters as well in their road trip to Los Angeles to face the Chargers. The Chargers are 3.5-point favorites, which ruins a streak, I would imagine, of like a million games in a row where the Chiefs have been favorite over the Chargers. But obviously, again, it reflects what Kansas City is doing. They are the 3 seed in the AFC. They cannot improve that position. It cannot be worsened. So it makes all the sense in the world for them to put things on ice into the wild card round.
Yeah, this is a total throwaway game. There's really nothing to watch in this one. The only things that really matter for the Chiefs in this game, Travis Kelce's 1,000-yard streak is in jeopardy if they decide not to play him, which I think he's been limited in practice this week too, which is also concerning, but he's only 16 yards away. So I could see the Chiefs putting him in with Blaine Gabbert on the first series and just say, we got 2 design looks to Kelce, try to get him to 16 yards, pull him immediately. And then Chris Jones is a half a sack away from a $1.25 million bonus. But he also hasn't practiced all week. Like, he's dealing with a groin injury. So I don't know if I would imagine he wants to go because he wants to hit that contract incentive. But if he's legitimately banged up, he's not going to play. Like, the Chiefs aren't going to play anybody meaningful in this one. And I don't think the Chargers are going to play anybody meaningful in this one. Keenan Allen's certainly not going to play. Like, it's just going to be an ugly game. But I also think that, like, the Chargers are getting that 3.5 just because it's a home field game. But, like, that doesn't really matter. I'm going to pick the Chiefs in this one. I just don't think the Chargers, like, even after firing their head coach, there's been no, like, post-head coach bump for the Chargers. They just want to get the season over with and get the hell to the offseason.
I could totally see Blaine Gabbert having, like, a 273-yard game with 3 passing touchdowns type of performance, or they just crush the Chargers again. And it's just like, man, like, even when it isn't great for the Chiefs, it's great. Like, that's just life for them and life for the Chargers. I'm with you. I'm going to take the Chiefs, especially if I'm getting points. This team, the Chargers, allows me the opportunity to ask, who do you think is the first team to hire a new head coach in the offseason? I know we'll have time to discuss that, but while we're here.
I think it's probably the Chargers.
Right. That's my thought too.
I think they know they got to go out and get this thing figured out and get it right.
Okay. Sunday Night Football. The Buffalo Bills are in Miami. As we mentioned, it was our same game parlay. The Buffalo Bills, Steven, are 2.5-point favorites on the road. No Bradley Chubb, no Xavier Howard. Kind of Mike McDaniel, like we talked about Brandon Staley last year, not really taking a lot of heat for leaving Bradley Chubb in the game at the end of that blowout loss to Baltimore. I don't know. Where are we going here?
I'm going to go Buffalo. And, like, I generally root for chaos. So if Buffalo lost this game, the chaos that would ensue would be tremendous for the NFL. And that's always what I root for the most part. But it's just, you know, they've put together enough for me to be pretty confident in them in this game. And, yeah, at the end of the day, it just comes back to the Dolphins' injuries. They're so banged up right now. During the pick three, I highlighted all the injuries that they have on offense ahead of this game. It seems like Raheem Mostert's super questionable too after missing last week. Achane's been banged up and is
pretty much not been practicing, like in really limited spots here, and then still going. But we obviously know like the injury concerns with him. I just think Buffalo knows what's on the line. They know what they got to do. They've been on this run, and the Dolphins are so banged up on offense and on defense. It's just hard for me to pick Miami with any kind of confidence. So I'm going to go with the Bills.
Yeah. I don't even know that I want to pick Miami. Like, you know, there are times where like, I'm not going to pick a team, but I'm like, I really wish I could pick them. I kind of am worried that Miami's going to be a wild card exit. I'm just, they kind of smell that way.
There's just so many, and the defense over the second half of the season has actually been really strong, but now there's so many injuries piling up to key players. It's just hard for you to envision their defense holding up in the playoffs.
Yeah. And I mean, it just seems like they've lost steam as the season has gone along, or kind of withered down the stretch here. Even, you know, when they beat the Cowboys, which is obviously, you know, like fresh in mind for me, it didn't feel like they like overwhelmed them, you know, like it felt like defensively Vic Fangio just kind of was in his bag, but like the Dolphins offense wasn't there. And so again, I'm not coping or anything like that, but I just kind of have expected more. It feels like they peaked a little too early this season, and that's kind of their lesson.
And I think some of it too was like record chasing with Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Well, and like there was a few weeks there where you could tell Tyreek Hill was playing through injuries. Like you'd see him just like make a big play down the field, get up immediately, like limp to the sideline. Like he is fighting through it to try to catch this 2,000 yard streak, which like that's amazing. It would have been amazing if he would have been able to accomplish that. But I think they probably could have managed some of their injuries better this season, because I totally agree with you. It feels like that they're. It just doesn't feel like they have the juice that they had early in the season.
Okay. That's that. That's Yahtzee. That's Dallas. That's whatever else. anything else you want to say? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Now's the last time to like fire off a take that you believe in to have it be proved right. That can't be hindsight.
Let me think here. No, I got nothing. It's week 18.
Actually, like, I'm wondering, like, what's the shock? Like, what's the, like, Monday morning, whoa, we didn't see that coming? Because it feels like, you know, even these, like, surprise potential playoff teams, like, are all, everything's, like, fairly conceivable. And even, like, you know, if on Monday the Patriots move on from Bill Belichick, nobody's going to be like, what? You know, like, nobody's going to be shocked. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't know what the, like, the thing is we're not seeing.
I don't know. I feel like it would just be, like, if Jacksonville misses the playoffs.
It's possible. Okay, you want to get out of here?
Yeah, let's do it.
As we do, give us one non-football thing you promised to do this weekend. Normally I ask to eat, but like it can be anything. It can be read a comic book. It could be watch a movie. It can be watch a show. It can be work out. It can be go for a walk. Whatever you want to do. By promises.
I'm going to Legoland on
Holy
Saturday.
Is there one in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, there's one in Kansas City. I'm taking my nephew to Legoland. We're going to do like the virtual reality thing and play with Legos. So.
I presume you've been before if it's in Kansas City. Is that a correct assertion?
Yeah, I have been once before. So second time at Legoland.
We went to the one in San Diego over the summer, and it was amazing. We went for my son, but like I really was the one who like spearheaded the whole experience. Super cool. Are you a Lego Masters fan, the TV show?
No, never seen it.
Do you know what it is?
No, have no idea.
It's a reality show with teams that build Lego things, but like it's so much cooler than it sounds. Will Arnett hosts, and he's really funny, which I think you would agree with. But the challenges are so interesting. As an example, one time the challenge was a single Lego that was hanging from like a wire, and they had to build something around it.
Yeah.
Like I highly recommend watching Lego Masters.
That
highly.
Does I think sound you would cool. Really enjoy I feel like I would be really into building Legos, but they're so expensive. They're crazy.
I agree with you. Yeah. I mean, I'm not looking forward to when my son like actually is able to like comprehend what they are. And then you know, be able to ask for them. Cause that will, you know, be a hit to me. But I'll enjoy the building process of them. And I actually shouted Lego out on the NFC's mixtape. So we bought at Legoland a Christmas tree. It's like a Lego Christmas tree to build at Christmas time. And when I was doing it, I noticed some of the pieces were absent, like the directions called for. And I went to their website and kind of filled this thing out, and they sent them to me, like, completely free of charge. Like, what a great, you know, company.
Nice. Yeah, that's cool.
So thank them for me when you're there. And enjoy your visit and consider watching Lego Masters.
I will. I'll put it on the list.
Peace out. Hey, Tom.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Claude 3 from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point of the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skill and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who use Anthropic to navigate this new frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, today. Jumpstart your genius with Claude 3 by Anthropic.